Coming up on Golf Today, happy anniversary. Today we celebrate 30 years of Golf Channel. We look back on the people and the places and the moments over three wonderful decades of 24-hour golf television. Meanwhile, the PGA Tour continues its Hawaii swing. Destination Oahu. Todd Lewis brings you the top stories from Wailea Country Club. Aloha. It's a very special Golf Today.
Golf Today.
What it is that we are venturing on is a 24-hour Golf Channel network. It will be called The Golf Channel, and it will run 24 hours on cable, and it will carry a variety of shows from tournaments to dramatics of golf, instructional golf, quiz shows, just about anything you can think about in golf will be run on this channel. Movies, golf movies, everything.
And that dream would become reality. This was the moment 30 years ago, co-founders Joe Gibbs and Arnold Palmer launching Golf Channel in January of 1995, Orlando, Florida, flipping the switch. How about those fireworks? Got the king's attention, and soon his network would have the world's attention. This is Golf Today. Happy 30th anniversary to Golf Channel. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch. Tell you what, the hallways are buzzing. You got the step and repeat when you walk into the building. You got old videos going of Arnold Palmer making putts. I just saw Byron Nelson splitting the fairway on an old video.
And those 30 years have perfectly overlaid the Tiger Woods era. Golf Channel launched just before he won that first U.S. Amateur, the first of three in a row. We watched him become arguably the GOAT, and now we're watching Tiger in his, arguably his Arnie years at this period as an elder statesman in the game.
30 years can pass in the blink of an eye. Who better to relive all those great moments than our own Rich Lerner?
A dream 3.5 years in the making came true. The Golf Channel became a reality.
If you had to pare down from 500 stations to three, this likely makes the cut if you love the game.
Let's go, baby. You got it. You got it. Here you go. He won. Look at that, folks.
And the reason why Arnold Palmer hung in.
The game is spreading so rapidly throughout the world.
Famously telling his skeptical advisors that if he hadn't hit it through the trees all those years, he wouldn't have been Arnold Palmer.
All right, Joseph.
The reason he believed Golf Channel would work is that while he knew you and I could never play the game as well as he did, he absolutely knew that we love golf every bit as much. It's why people tell us, oh, we watch you all the time. Not occasionally, but all the time. That's how golfers are.
We are so delighted to have you here for our wall-to-wall coverage of golf's longest day.
And we are the network of the well-struck 7-iron from Hawaii in January.
Here's to you.
To Florida in March, to the United Kingdom in July, to Asia in October. And if the sun's up somewhere on this green earth, someone's trying to shoot 65, and we're there to cover it because you like it. Like that you're capable of hitting that one shot you saw.
I'm done. Guys, it's been fantastic.
If not, you want to know how it's done so that maybe 205 off the tee becomes 212 or your score of 92 becomes 86.
Club in the hands are at 3 o'clock.
And you also want to get to know all those players who hit all those well-struck 7-irons, and they've been good to us all these years. You want to play the 7th. That ball kisses the sky over the Pacific. The 18th at Hilton Head and light up when you make par. The 17th at Sawgrass and have a story to tell your pals, wet or dry. You want to go home where it all started. And if you can't get there, you want to see it and imagine it.
On January 17th, 1995, Arnold Palmer threw a switch and the cable TV network devoted to this sport debuted.
Golf course. Golf tournament, golf club, golf ball, golf channel. It is part of this great game.
And the always dapper Rich Lerner joins us now, about to host Golf Central on this 30th anniversary Indeed. Of Golf Channel. You're starting year number 29. I've known you for a long time, but how did you get here?
That's a heck of a question. By the way, I apologize. I am overdressed for the for what I call the quarter zip report, but I'll be doing the more formal Golf Central a little bit later, and I'm going to interview the man who hired me, Joe Gibbs, will be with us to celebrate 30th anniversary of the network that he launched with Arnold Palmer. How did I get here? That's a good question. We have time.
Yeah.
So I grew up in golf. My late father, Les, rest in peace, came out of the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, World War II veteran. He had this idea. He started to enjoy golf. And he, with some buddies, and about 40 grand, they were broke on day number one. They started a fully lighted par three, 30-stall driving range, miniature golf, pinball room. With some great pinball games in the day. Galaga, Donkey Kong, Pac-Man. I played too much pinball, by the way. I should be on tour because I had all the golf balls you could possibly hit. We were wayward children. So my dad had this driving range. And in fact, there's a tie to Arnold Palmer. My father, being the smart business person that he was, approached the ascendant star on the other side of the state. So this was in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, Allentown. And he approached the ascendant star with the idea that he would get Arnold's name on the new property, the new business. We'd have a string of Arnold Palmer golf centers across the country. Arnold was a shrewd businessman, as we all know, in his own right. And when my father found out, we're talking name, image, and likeness way back when. When my father found out Arnold's asking price to lend his name to the project, Dorneyville Golf Center was born. Named for the little borough on the edge of the expanding city of Allentown. Phenomenal, all-time greatest summer job. Without my three brothers and I and all of our friends worked it. Great memories, some hard early years, but 35 years before the state bought the land. And now it's just another homogenized strip of America with a Carrabba's and a Dunkin' Donuts. Carrabba's, where the 12th hole used to be, my only hole in one.
Carrabba's.
But anyway, local television and then radio in Dallas and then auditioned for the Golf Channel in 1996 and was hired and fortunate. To have had a home all these years. And by the way, many years later, my wife Robin and I, we did a charity event for the Palmer Hospitals. And it was the year my father passed away, 2013. And Arnold and I were doing a Q&A at Bay Hill for 200 people. And he called my mother up. He presented our family with a plaque with my dad's name on it, which is outside one of the neonatal intensive care rooms at the Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies in Orlando. So my dad never got Arnold's name on the driving range, but he got his name in the hospital. Wow. And his son still works for this network. So proud day for me, emotional day for me to have been able to work here, and I feel blessed. Fortunate.
What was the energy like back in those early days,
Rich? Gosh.
Something of a renegade operation, but perfect timing, because you had the rise of Tiger. You had the Annika Cary Webb rivalry that was starting out. Even the legends were still around, all the way back to a Sam Snead, a Gene Sarazen.
Yeah, it was the perfect time to launch Golf Channel, 1995. So the golf world was already buzzing about this amateur who had won his first of three consecutive. Tiger Woods. We're waiting for Tiger to turn pro. So he launches, and we fly on his wings. Annika and Cary, as you mentioned, are in the early stages of what would become, about a 7-8 year rivalry. And I still, to this day, think Cary's underappreciated with her seven majors. The legends of the sport were still vibrant. They were present. Every major championship you went to, it was either a farewell for Jack or Arnie, a press conference, or they were still, you know, they were still in the game on the PGA Tour Champions, then the Senior Tour, with Lee Trevino and Gary Player and Chichi Rodriguez. And then you had the European Tour, which I think was a tentpole piece of programming for this network when it launched. Renton Laidlaw and Peter Osterhaus from all these, you know, exotic locales around the world, beginning to introduce the American golfing public to some of the names with which we would become quite familiar. They would become Ryder Cup stars. Great piece of early programming for Golf Channel. So that was, it was a buzzy time. And you still had, as you said, you had Sam Snead, Byron Nelson hit the first tee shot. You had Gene Sarazen was still there. And so it was just, I think one of the best times in the sport, and Tiger carried us, you know, through 08, 09, and then we know the narrative changed, but yeah, it was a perfect time, and it was highly energized, and there was a good feeling about the network. It was as if, you know, though it was still a long shot in those early days, it was like, oh yeah, Golf Channel, where have you been my whole life? I mean, yeah, this makes total sense.
Well, you've crisscrossed the globe covering this game for Golf Channel in many different roles. I'm curious, your favorite day or assignment and your most maybe embarrassing moment through the years.
Embarrassing moment, I'll start there, my goodness. You guys could relate. First tee, you report still from the first, not the first tee, first fairway, on the right side there, down the hill at Augusta National. And I apologize, this is an inelegant story for such a storied place, but it happened and it was embarrassing. Had to go to the boys' room. I raced into the, you know, wherever it was. I came back, I put my earpiece in, and the producer yelled at me, "Where were you?" And I said, "I had to take a leak." We were live. We were live when I said that. And all I can say now is it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. You survived the scandal.
Yeah. So speaking of Masters, I would say memorable 2001, that Sunday when, I mean, history hung heavily in the air at Augusta National as Tiger is on the cusp of doing what no one had ever done before, win four consecutive men's professional majors. And so the huge buildup all day long. And finally, mid-afternoon, you know, word gets out that Tiger's ready to exit the clubhouse, go to the putting green first tee, and a line forms, you know, by that door. You guys know where it is. And it's like, you know, 40, 50 long on each side. And here he comes. And Tita is standing right there. You couldn't miss her. Got a hug for mom. Good luck. Gone. All he saw was the job ahead. And he went to a place only he now knows. So I'll remember that.
The toughest assignment over the years, and there've been a lot. It's been 30 years of ups and downs in this game. The passing of Arnold Palmer had to be pretty tough for you.
He was my guy. You know, even as a kid, I was on the putting green with my buddy Adam Leifer, Tank Leifer, and you know, at our club in Pennsylvania. And you know, if we had a putting contest, I was, you know, pigeon-toed. I was Arnie, and he was in a little crouch with the left foot back. He was Jack. So he was my guy. And then, you know, I go to work for this network and the history with Arnold and Pennsylvania and my father. And that one hit me hard. And I remember it purely from a broadcasting point of view. It was a night. It was heavy. I had just landed in Minneapolis Sunday before the Ryder Cup 2016 at Hazeltine National in Minneapolis. I was out to dinner with a producer, and we get a call, a text, and we learn the sad news. And so our set at Hazeltine was not even fully operational, but they got it there quickly. I get in the car to head to the golf course Sunday night. I'm jeans and my producer, Matt Hegarty, says, "Where are you? How far away?" I said, "The GPS says we're 12 minutes away." He said, "Good, because you're on in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And we obviously, you know, in the news business, you guys know we had material ready to go. And up on the set at 9 o'clock, and we ran the legacy piece, the obit, which was 22, 3 minutes long. And then we had all the callers and Jack and Gary and whoever we brought in that night, and that was 5 hours. I think I was done at 2 a.m. And then Kelly Tillman came in, and I got up to go in for an 8 o'clock shift. And I remember being in the hotel shaving, and I just broke down because it hit me that this generation, you know, that was so important to me. It was my dad's generation. My dad had passed 3 years prior. We're gone. And so it was emotional.
People still talk about that coverage in the days and weeks and months followed.
And even it was such a beautiful ceremony at the Basilica in La Trobe. Mm. You know, he was, what can you say about Arnold? He was uncommon and common in all the right ways. He flew high, but he stayed grounded. And I remember what one of his neighbors told me at that service in La Trobe. So much in life made Arnold smile, including this network. And we can't you know, talk about Arnold in this network without acknowledging Joe Gibbs. Brilliant man, but a good man too. He was decent, never imperious. And I will remember this always. I was at the Golf Channel maybe 2-3 years. We're living in an apartment. We just had a baby. We're starting our family. My wife, Robin. Two great long marriages, by the way. 35 to Robin, put up with me and all the travel, and 30 here. And I was at an ice skating rink at RDV, you know it, in Maitland, Florida. And there's Joe. And he says, how are you? And how's it going? And I said, great, making small talk. And he says, where do you live? I said, we live in an apartment, but we're thinking about buying a home. I'm not sure, though, what the contract status is and what the future holds. And he looks at me as a father would a son. And he says, go buy that house. Mm. Well, always be indebted to Joe. I think Joe should be strongly considered for the Hall of Fame in the same way that a Herb Grafis, you know these names, a Fred Corcoran, a Bob Harlow, great men who wrote about the game, administered the game, promoted the game, are in the World Golf Hall of Fame. I do think Joe Gibbs should be considered for the Hall of Fame. I know our colleague Steve Sands has pushed for this. Mm. Steve and I are on the nominating committee. Steve likes to say there would be no NFL network, no NBA, MLB, NHL, single sport networks proliferating today were it not for Golf Channel and the vision of Joe Gibbs.
The fingerprints of Joe Gibbs and Arnold Palmer still on this network some 30 years later. I'm curious, I want to go back to the early, early days. I mean, this channel has evolved so much from the old wood paneling that we saw in the early days. Do you remember your first assignment?
I do, and it was quite the assignment. It was the old Kmart Greater Greensboro Classic 1997, and it was the week after Tiger won the Masters. And the fuzzy mess, sadly, I loved fuzzy, still do, hit the fan for his ill-advised, inappropriate comments under the tree. And so he was caught, we all were, in the Tiger vortex, which, you know, you knew immediately was very powerful. And fateful in another way, because through all of that, it was a difficult week for everyone, because Fuzzy was such a bright light. He was a beloved figure in the sport, and it was a hard time for him. Driving rain, there was this bright flash through it all. It was this two-iron that our pal, the swarthy New Zealander, Frank Nabilo, hit to the final hole. A two-iron, just a gorgeous shot, and won the Greater Greensboro Classic. A few years later, Frank and I were at the Jeff Julian charity event. I don't know if people remember Jeff Julian. Played a lot on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour, a little bit on the PGA Tour. Beloved, pro, funny guy. And Frank had a bad back, and he was hurting, and he was thinking about what he should do. And I knew how bright he was, and I recommended broadcasting, and he still curses me for his blessed plight. And Jeff passed of ALS. But anyway, yeah, that one was memorable for sure because of what went down.
Of course, you went on to work with Frank on Live From for many years. You've worked with pretty much everybody who's ever set foot at this network. Who was the most vexatious colleague you've ever had, and why was it the Little Texan?
Ooh, you didn't waste any time. Before,
he went there. Because
you reminded me. And I would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge all of the people behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. We have the easy job. We get to talk golf, and that includes not only the tech people, but in accounting, in promotions, in all of it, our producers who put up with us, who steer us in the right direction. And then I do need to acknowledge the early players, the early on-air people who were pros, who built this network and got us going. Jennifer Mills and Brian Hammonds, world class. Craig Kann, Mike Ritz, Tom Nettles was a legend. Peter Kessler, and even behind the scenes, Keith Hirschland. All of these people who brought their passion and love for the game, and without whom we would not be where we are today. The Texan, well, you know how I feel about my partner. I think he's I personally think he is the greatest desk analyst in any sport. I do. You may not agree with everything he says, but try to prove me wrong. There are different styles. There are different ways to get at it. You know, Barkley is a completely different, approach. But in terms of breadth of knowledge, depth of research, ability to bring an argument, a point of view, I think Brandel is untouched. He's a force. But, yeah, he can be. Well, he's the Texan. Oh, yeah. You know, we love him. And speaking of Barkley, the one thing I think about this network, it hit me on the way in, I was thinking about this, is people said, well, when did you know you were going to make it as Golf Channel? It was in the early days when I was out covering the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And I would go up to George Lopez, George, Rich Lerner, I know who you are. Andy Garcia, Rich Lerner, I know who you are. We were playing already in that stratosphere. And I think same thing, Wall Street. So, we're the network of Andy Garcia and Don Cheadle and Michael Douglas, all these people who love golf.
Chris Tucker, Steph Curry.
Exactly. We're the network of Joe Kiernan on CNBC. Wall Street loves this network. We're the network of Stephen Curry and Blake Griffin, all these athletes who love the game of golf. So, who doesn't love the game?
And the network of Brandel Champlain, who has the most formidable yellow legal pad since Perry Mason. We could do this all day. Rich, I know you got to get ready for Golf Central. You had Joe Gibbs. Who else is coming on with you?
We have Chris Mervin, who was one of the early important executive figures at Golf Channel. Arnie's grandson, Sam Saunders, will be with us. Tim Neer, who was one of the early Golf Channel pioneers and a great guy. So we'll celebrate 30. And, it's been great having you guys along. And what are you looking at?
Just looking at a ledge.
The golf, isn't it nice that we've got the golfing gadfly?
Yeah, happy new year. Here we go, 2025. This was fun, Rich.
Big D, good to see you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. What a treat. Thank you.
Oh, grateful for 30 years of Golf Channel. Grateful for you, the viewer, and for Arnold Palmer and Joe Gibbs for launching the network way back in 1995. What a ride it has been.
Golf Today, brought to you by Bushnell Golf and the new Pro-X 3 Plus. The best just got even better. Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
We're back on Golf Today. One PGA Tour event is in the books for 2025. Hideki Matsuyama put on a clinic in winning the Century for his 11th career PGA Tour title. 35 under par. That total is the lowest score in relation to par in a 72-hole event in Tour history. He is, of course, number one in the FedEx Cup standings as a result. Well, this week, the Tour does a little island hop. Wildeye Country Club hosts the first full field event on Tour this season. Wildeye has been home to the Sony Open since it began in 1965, making it the third oldest PGA Tour event in which every round in tournament history has been played on the same golf course. And Todd Lewis has paddled his canoe from the plantation course at Kapalua over to Wailea Country Club. And Todd joins us now. Todd, it's safe to say that the only thing last week's venue has in common with this week's venue is nice weather, because it's hard to imagine going from two more varied challenges from week to week on tour.
Yeah, you're right, Eamon. They're in the same state. That may be the only similarity that these two courses have, the plantation course at Kapalua and Wailea Country Club. And let's just show you graphically the difference between these two golf courses. First off, just look at par at the plantation golf course at Kapalua. It's a par 73. They come here to Wailea. It's a par 70. The yardage is vastly different at over 500 yards longer at the plantation course compared to here at Wailea. It's kind of an old school course here at Wailea, moves right to left, left to right. You got to work and control your golf ball. Where there, you can just bomb it. And the elevation change is just so significant at the plantation course. The highest point, the tee at 17, the lowest point, the green at 8. And there's a difference of 440 feet between those two points. There may be 10 feet of elevation here at Wailea Country Club. So it's just such a vast difference between these two golf courses. Now, four players who competed last week at the Century are playing tonight. I'm talking about Xander Schauffele, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ludvig Åberg, and Wyndham Clark, and kicking off the TGL season. There are 35 others who played last week at the Century that are coming here to Wailea to compete in the Sony Open. And I asked a few of them prior to arriving on the island of Oahu to compare the two golf courses.
Complete opposites. I'd say next week's a little more what I would prefer. If you know, there's narrow fairways. It actually matters if you hit your driver straight. I'm excited to go back and play there. A lot of fun memories for me.
While I was more back to normal a little bit, you know, out here you end up with just some crazy lies and some pretty wild shots that you end up having to hit on this golf course. And then while I was more traditional, you know, you're playing in some wind still, but especially when the course gets firm and fast, it's really fun.
You know, obviously the elevation changes on this course are extremely dramatic, whereas Wailea sits all right down, like, at the sea level. So the elevation change is the biggest thing. But there's also, at Wailea, you're playing a lot of traditional-style dogleg holes where you're playing to the dogleg off the tee, whereas here, you know, most holes, you are sending that driver as far as you can. So we'll be... It'll be a welcome change for me to kind of play a little more like target golf off the tee, but I sure love being here too.
Now, one other big difference between the two golf courses and the two tournaments, last week's event was a signature event, 700 FedEx Cup points going to Hideki Matsuyama for winning. This is a full field event, only 500 FedEx Cup points going to the winner here. And for the players that are not in signature events this year, they have to take advantage of opportunities like here at the Sony Open, because let's not forget, at season's end, it's not top 125 have exempt status for 2026. There are changes now. Only the top 100 in the FedEx Cup standings at season's end will be exempt for next year. So this is a big week for a lot of players.
It is, Todd, and fun listening to the players detail the differences between the two golf courses. Now, Tilu, a lot of these players grew up watching Golf Channel, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary. You've been around for a lot of those years, buddy. What's your favorite memories when you think back on Golf Channel's life?
Well, I have a lot of them. Probably the most important date was the date I was hired, which was in late 2007, because I felt a beautiful responsibility to service our viewers, because we are a destination channel. People do not stumble across the Golf Channel. They arrive there wanting the greatest information, and it is my honor to give them that and work out here on the PGA Tour. That's the spirit of all of us that work at the Golf Channel. But in regards to stories, of course, Tiger Woods, I was a part of that, probably the second half of his career. I wasn't there in the early 2000s when he was the dominant player, but he was still very powerful. And when he won in 2019 at the Zozo to tie Sam Snead for 82 wins on the PGA Tour, most ever, I was there on the green, interviewed him when the putt dropped. That was a special moment. But earlier that year, when he won the Masters, his 15th major championship, I had the honor to sit down with him that night and talk about that win. And he went into great detail about the appreciation he has to win that wonderful tournament again, to hug his son Charlie and have his daughter Sam on the green there with him. So that was a wonderful moment. There's a personal moment too. My daughter was born in Orlando at Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies in 2016, February of 2016. I spent some time with them after she was born, talking about my daughter Addison and my wife Melanie. My first tournament back was the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. And my wife and daughter came out to the tournament to kind of get out of the house. And I was showing off Addison to players and caddies and officials. And on a whim, I went to Mr. Palmer's office and saw his assistant, and I said, "Is Mr. Palmer busy by chance? Remember, this is the week of Bay Hill, PGA Tour event there." And she said, "No, go on up." And so I went up into his historic office, and there was Mr. Palmer, and he saw me, and he saw me holding Addison, and he stood up, and he grabbed Addison and put her in those big, giant bear hands and just had a moment with her. And there's a picture that we took there, and it was just such a special moment because of the commitment that he made to families and Addison being born at his hospital. It was wonderful. And sadly, later that year, Mr. Palmer passed away. So those are two big special moments for me because it affected my family. Now, I have a work family, an extended family here at the Golf Channel as well. And we have a lot of fun covering the world's greatest athletes on the world's greatest tours. As a matter of fact, we'll take you back to before the turn of the century. Golf Channel had a basketball team. I'm not kidding. A basketball team. And they are dressed in Lakers colors, but they were nothing like the Lakers from what I understand. They were called the Bananas. And of those seven that you see there in that picture, two of them are with me right now. Let's bring two of them in. Here's shooting guard Lee Siegel, who was an original hire at the Golf Channel. He's here toughing it out with us in Hawaii. And this is the guy that was in the tank top, John Faco. We have to work hard to keep him out of a tank top, but we dressed him appropriately. And Big John was like the Charles Barkley of the team. How good was the team?
We weren't very good. We didn't win many games, but we had a lot of fun, and it was quite an experience.
Yes, it was. And where Golf Channel is now compared to when you were originally hired, what would you say?
Oh, it's amazing. The growth is amazing. I think about it this week specifically, like when we first started, we'd go to a tournament and we'd stay at the resort where the tournament was, and the Golf Channel wasn't on. It wasn't even on then. Mm-hmm. And now everywhere you go around here, the Golf Channel's on. People are talking about it. Obviously, everybody knows us. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. Mm.
And by the way, another person in that picture, Matt Haggerty, he leads our news department, and so we love him as a leader. I don't know how good you guys were at basketball, but I'm glad we are all stars at covering sports, maybe not playing it, right?
Terrible.
Correct.
But we have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about it tonight over a burger and a beverage, but it's great to have a family like this when you're out on the road, guys.
It's high. Hey, I'm 6'3". I wasn't hired, though, until 2012. The boys could have used me in the paint to maybe turn some of those losses into victories.
Yeah, you were hired too late, Damon. I think these guys were regulated out of the YMC league, right? Because you were so bad?
We could have used Damon. We asked Rich Lerner to play, and he said no.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking breaking news right there.
All right. Crazy. If there's an old man division, we'll get the band back together. Great to see you, Tilu, Lee, and John Faco at Wylie Country Club as we celebrate 30 years of Golf Channel. Special day here. Give a special shout-out to all the great folks behind the scenes, the hardworking women and men who love this game of golf.
Golf Channel, Fred Couples here. Congratulations on your 30th birthday. I'm going to say this. I hope I'm around for 20 more of them.
Give it to me one more time. Okay. I'm going to say this. I hope I'm around for 30 more.
Okay. That puts me at 95.
Yeah,
people
let's
are
hope.
Smart. Okay.
Let's
hey, Golf Channel, Fred Couples here. Congratulations on your 30th birthday. I'm hoping I'm around for 30 more.
The debut of TGL, a new simulator golf league that's been backed by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. The competition is taking place in Palm Beach Gardens at SoFi Center. So a home game for a lot of these guys. Six TGL teams representing six different cities will go head-to-head in this season-long competition. And the teams taking to the stage tonight. New York Golf Club, that's Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele in action against the Bay Golf Club. That will be Wyndham Clark, Ludvig Åberg and Shane Lowry.
Speaking of the major champ, posted this on X. If hitting the first ever shot in TGL history tomorrow night wasn't nerve-wracking enough, imagine if I miss the 60-foot screen. Kind of doubt he's going to miss the screen, but that's pretty good comedy from Shane. Rex Hoggard is down in South Florida, by the way. He joins us now. Great to see you, buddy. Let's hit on some of the logistics, because these tour players, as you know, they are creatures of habit. You know, when they eat, when they hit balls, when they work out, arrive to the golf course. How will the day kind of unfold ahead of tonight?
Damon, I've been in the SoFi Center. I've seen that screen. The three of us could easily hit that screen. So I don't think that's going to be a problem with Matt Fitzpatrick at all. Now, you go back to what's been going on leading up to today's first match. Actually, players on both teams went to the SoFi Center last night and played a simulated match, getting ready for tonight's match, getting rid of all the bugs that might be in the system. Now, they were also expected to come over this morning to the SoFi Center to practice and prepare for today as well. It's important to point out there is a locker room for both teams on property. Inside that locker room are cryo chambers and therapy tables and a gym. And there's also six different hitting bays. Now, I spoke with officials, and players are expected to arrive on property at the SoFi Center about 90 minutes before the match. And the idea is they're going to treat those hitting bays in the locker room like they do the range at a PGA Tour event. They'll probably go in there, warm up, get comfortable with the longer irons. And then about an hour before tonight's match, which starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time, they're allowed onto the field to play. And officials expect players to spend most of that time focused on that big, massive putting green we've talked about. It rotates. You can change the undulations of the green, trying to get the feel for the speed of the green and how you chip and playing out of the bunkers. I was there a few weeks ago, and Billy Horschel said it's really different chipping off that artificial turf onto an artificial turf green. It's something players are going to have to adjust to. And one other point to make, about 90 minutes before tonight's match, at 7:30 p.m., the gates are going to open, fans are going to come inside, and officials expect 1,500 fans tonight.
Are you anticipating, Rex, any kind of tension in that arena outside of the players? Because, like you, I've been there, and there's a huge technology component. There's a huge engineering component. There's a new broadcast component. There are a lot of things that need to go correctly for a lot of people tonight.
There's the three of us are friends with a lot of people who now work at TGL. And I think there's going to be a ton of tension behind the screens. We were just joking about hitting that first screen on an opening first tee shot. You're right. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's important to point out that this has been a process of 2 years. They intended to start playing last year, but they couldn't get the dome ready in time. So they've had some time to work through all these technological issues. But certainly everyone is on pins and needles right now, hoping this goes off without a hitch.
To see how it all unfolds. Rex, we appreciate the reporting. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks.
All right, folks. Scottie Scheffler, not a part of TGL, but we do have a health update for world number one, who missed the century after cutting his hand on glass during the holidays. Scheffler on social media on Monday said this: after consulting with my medical team, I have made the decision to withdraw from next week's American Express tournament to give my injury more time to heal. I am still hopeful to begin my season at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
And before we get to break, some news today from the official World Golf Ranking. The governing board has announced that 2008 Masters champion Trevor Immelman has been appointed chairman of the OWGR beginning in April. Immelman succeeds Peter Dawson, who held the role since 2016. Golf Today will be right back.
Golf Today, brought to you by Wind Grips, the best grips in golf.
Welcome back to Golf Today. As the PGA Tour returns to Wailea Country Club, we want to take time to remember last year's champion, Grayson Murray. Murray, who was open about his personal experience with anxiety, depression, and addiction, passed away on May 25th, 2024, at the age of 30. On Monday, Eric and Terry Murray, parents of the late PGA Tour player Grayson Murray, at the official launch of the Grayson Murray Foundation in their son's honor. The mission of the Grayson Murray Foundation is to raise awareness and support of mental health and addiction challenges faced by individuals from all walks of life. The foundation aims to create a noticeable impact on mental health and addiction care by supporting innovative research, expanding access to essential services, and fostering a culture of understanding inspired by Murray's legacy of compassion, resilience, and hope. And Todd Lewis joins us once again. Todd, how is the Sony Open honoring Grayson Murray's life this week?
Well, he's going to be remembered all week. We will see it visually by buttons that have GM on it, along with his fist pump from that dramatic putt that he made in a playoff last year. Players, caddies, officials will be wearing it all week here at the Sony Open. And I've been covering Grayson for a long time. And for years, he felt like a number defined him. That number is what he did on the golf course. But late last year, he decided that he wasn't going to let golf define him. He changed a lot of things. He elevated his faith. He made a commitment in the gym, worked on his game more, was in a great relationship, got engaged. And when he came here to Hawaii to kick off 2024, he was in a perfect frame of mind and ultimately helped him win that tournament. Now, on the green, when he made that dramatic putt, was one of his good friends, Akshay Bhatia. He, like Grayson, grew up in Raleigh. Akshay, significantly younger than Grayson, he looked up to Grayson Murray in Raleigh and found him to be a role model as a golfer and as a person. Now, I caught up with Akshay last week, who competed at the Century, and I asked him just how special that moment was watching Grayson Murray win the Sony Open last year.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, I think for his family, his journey, for us, you know, in Raleigh, it was pretty special. And knowing he was going to Augusta for the first time and everything he battled was, it was definitely a dream come true for me to witness and for him as well.
Yeah. What did it do for you emotionally seeing that?
I was just so proud. I mean, it gives me chills right now thinking about it, but I've just always known how talented he is. And, you know, for him to kind of battle through, get back through the Corn Ferry and then, you know, hoist the trophy, his first event back as a PGA Tour member was so special.
You going to think about him next week?
100%. Yeah. I've been in contact with his family and a good friend of ours. I know they're going next week, and unfortunately not going to be there next week for him, but you know, I'm really excited for what the PGA Tour is doing for him and his foundation, and you know, it's going to be a pretty cool week, I believe.
As you heard, Akshay is not in the field here for the Sony Open, but he will be thinking about his friend Grayson Murray this week, and others who are on site will be thinking about him as well. As a matter of fact, in just 10 minutes, there will be a celebration of life honoring Grayson Murray at the 16th hole with a famous W for YLI. Players, caddies will be there, officials also there, his father, his mother, his sister, his brother, his former caddy, his agent. So they will remember the spirit that Grayson Murray had out here on the PGA Tour, and he did touch so many. And it's very important to note that this foundation that was developed will help those who, like Grayson, have problems with addiction and depression. So his death will not be in vain. Guys?
Thank you, Todd. A lot of people thinking about Grayson Murray this week. And as we go to break, we remember the life of Grayson Murray. Passed away last spring at the age of 30.
Just want to wish the Golf Channel happy birthday. 30 years. Who would have known?
Happy 30th anniversary, Golf Channel.
Golf Channel, happy birthday.
Golf Channel, happy 30th birthday.
Congratulations. Thank you. And here's a 30 more great years.
Happy 30th anniversary, Golf Channel.
Happy 30th anniversary, Golf Channel. You're older pro to me.
Happy 30th anniversary, Golf Channel.
Happy 30th anniversary to the Golf Channel. Keep going.
30 years. How about that? Remember the first time watching it at a buddy's house in the California desert, Indio, Rob Diaz. And here comes Golf Channel. I'd never even heard of it. I was just getting into golf. Had no idea that one day I'd end up working at Golf Channel. I just thought it was pitch perfect. The tone, just kind of the way golf was kind of coming to the forefront, especially behind the emergence of Tiger Woods.
And there's never, 30 years later, there's never been a more compelling time to cover the golf industry. Yeah. Complicated, admittedly, and contentious at times, but never more compelling. And it is a remarkable team of people in this building who put that together day after day.
It really is. They love this game. And you think about it, there may be bigger sports and other sports that are more popular and may have more fans. But think about how passionate the golf fan is. We may be small in numbers, but we love our game as much or more than anybody who loves their respective sport.
And it's not just a sport we watch, it's a sport we play, which can't be said of a lot of other big-time sports in the United States.
Celebration continues at 4 p.m. on Golf Central. Congratulations to all the wonderful people who have made this endeavor possible. Happy 30th anniversary, and here is to 30 more.